Welcome to the Stoic Saga channel. In today's video, we're continuing our self-development series from the previous episodes. If you're new here or missed the last one, you can check out all the episodes in the playlist that'll pop up at the end of this video. These lessons aren't just educational content, they're a daily, all-encompassing approach to life. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. If you're digging this series, show some love by liking the video and dropping a keep it up in the comments below. In this video, we're not just talking about some dusty old philosophy. We're diving into how Stoicism can be your cheat code for navigating the challenges of modern life. We'll explore how to reframe your relationship with money, find deeper meaning in your daily routines, and train your mind to focus on what truly matters. We'll tackle questions like, can money buy happiness? How can we find joy in the journey, not just the destination? And what can we learn from the wisdom of those who came before us? As Seneca put it, luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. So, if you're ready to declutter your mind, simplify your life, and unlock the power of Stoic wisdom, smash that like button, subscribe, and let's embark on this journey together. Remember, as Marcus Aurelius said, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength." Lesson 1. A morning ritual. Your daily dose of awesome, all right, folks. Let's talk about mornings. Not the groggy, caffeine-fueled scramble to get out the door. We're talking about a mindful, intentional morning ritual that sets you up for a day of awesomeness. The snooze button trap. Let's face it, most of us hit the snooze button more times than we'd like to admit. We wake up feeling groggy, stressed, and already behind schedule. We rush through our morning routine, grabbing a quick breakfast, if we're lucky, and racing out the door. But what if we could start our days with a sense of calm, clarity, and purpose? What if we could create a morning ritual that nourishes our minds, bodies, and souls? The philosopher's approach. The ancient philosophers understood the importance of a morning routine. Aristotle, for example, believed that the first few hours of the day were crucial for setting the tone for the rest of the day. He advocated for a morning routine that included exercise, contemplation, and study. So, how can we create a morning ritual that works for us in the modern world? 1. Rise and shine mindfully. Instead of hitting the snooze button, try waking up at the same time each day, even on weekends. This helps regulate your body's natural sleep-wake cycle. When you wake up, take a few deep breaths, stretch your body, and set an intention for the day. 2. Hydrate and nourish. Start your day with a glass of water to rehydrate your body after sleep. Then, fuel your body with a healthy breakfast that will give you sustained energy throughout the morning. Avoid sugary cereals and pastries and opt for protein, healthy fats, and complex carbohydrates. 3. Move your body. Exercise is a great way to wake up your body and mind. It doesn't have to be a strenuous workout. A brisk walk, a yoga session, or even a few minutes of stretching can do wonders for your energy levels and mood. 4. Feed your mind. Spend some time each morning reading, journaling, or meditating. This will help you clear your head, focus your thoughts, and set a positive tone for the day. As Marcus Aurelius put it, when you arise in the morning, think of what a precious privilege it is to be alive, to breathe, to think, to enjoy, to love. 5. Plan your day. Take a few minutes to review your calendar, prioritize your tasks, and set realistic goals for the day. This will help you stay focused and avoid feeling overwhelmed. real-world examples. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The CEO's morning meditation. Many successful CEOs swear by meditation as a way to start their day. It helps them clear their minds, reduce stress, and focus on what's important. The artist's morning pages. Many writers and artists use a technique called morning pages, where they write three pages of stream of consciousness thoughts first thing in the morning. This helps them clear their minds and tap into their creativity. The athlete's morning workout. Many athletes have a strict morning workout routine that helps them prepare for the day's challenges. This might include running, weightlifting, or practicing their sport. The bottom line: a morning ritual is not about adding more tasks to your already busy schedule. It's about creating a sacred space for yourself, a time to connect with your inner self, set your intentions, and prepare for the day ahead. As the saying goes, win the morning, win the day. So, take some time to experiment and find a morning ritual that works for you. Your mind, body, and soul will thank you for it. Lesson 2. The Day in Review, Your Daily Mental Detox. All right, folks, let's talk about something we all do but rarely give much thought to: reflecting on our day. No, we're not talking about rehashing every little detail or beating ourselves up over mistakes. We're talking about a mindful review that helps us learn, grow, and become better versions of ourselves. The hamster wheel of life. In our fast-paced, always-on world, it's easy to get caught up in the daily grind. We wake up, rush through our morning routine, work, eat, maybe squeeze in a workout or some social time, then collapse into bed, exhausted and ready to do it all again the next day. But what if we could break this cycle of mindless repetition? What if we could use the end of each day as an opportunity to pause, reflect, and gain valuable insights into our lives? The philosopher's approach. The ancient Stoics, like Seneca and Marcus Aurelius, were big proponents of daily reflection. They believed that by examining our thoughts, actions, and emotions, we could gain wisdom, cultivate virtue, and live more fulfilling lives. As Seneca put it, the unexamined life is not worth living. But how do we examine our lives in a way that's both meaningful and practical? Here's a simple framework for your daily review. 1. The highlights reel. Start by recalling the positive moments of your day. What made you smile? What did you accomplish? What are you grateful for? This helps to cultivate a sense of gratitude and optimism. 2. The learning curve. Next, reflect on the challenges and setbacks you faced. What did you learn from them? How can you use this knowledge to improve in the future? Remember, mistakes are not failures, they're opportunities for growth. As Confucius said, our greatest glory is not in never falling, but in rising every time we fall. 3. The course correction. Based on your reflections, identify one or two small changes you can make to improve your life. This could be anything from setting a new goal, to practicing a new habit, to simply being more mindful of your thoughts and actions. As the saying goes, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Real-world examples. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The journaling CEO. Many successful CEOs keep a daily journal to reflect on their experiences, capture their thoughts, and track their progress towards their goals. The mindful athlete. Athletes often use visualization and mental rehearsal techniques to review their performance, identify areas for improvement, and prepare for future competitions. The grateful parent. Parents can use bedtime routines with their children to reflect on the day's events express gratitude for the good things that happened, and learn from any mistakes or challenges. The bottom line: the day in review is not about dwelling on the past or obsessing over what went wrong. It's about learning from our experiences, celebrating our successes, and making small, incremental improvements that lead to big changes over time. As the philosopher Heraclitus said, "The only constant in life is change." By embracing change and using reflection as a tool for growth, we can navigate life's ups and downs with more grace, resilience, and wisdom. Lesson 3. The truth about money: it ain't what you think, and it won't buy you happiness. All right, folks, let's have a heart-to-heart about the almighty dollar. We're not talking about budgeting tips or investment strategies, although those are important too. We're talking about the deeper meaning of money, its role in our lives, and the often misunderstood relationship between money and happiness. The golden handcuffs. In our society, money is often seen as the ultimate goal. We're told that more money equals more happiness, more freedom, more success. But is that really true? As the philosopher Epicurus put it, wealth consists not in having great possessions, but in having few wants. In other words, it's not about how much money you have, but how much you need. And the truth is, most of us need a lot less than we think we do. The hedonic treadmill. Have you ever noticed that no matter how much money you make, you always seem to want more? That's because of something called the hedonic treadmill. It's the idea that we quickly adapt to our circumstances. So even when we get a raise or a bonus, the initial boost of happiness is short-lived. We quickly return to our baseline level of happiness, and then we start wanting more. The money trap. The pursuit of money can become a trap, leading us to sacrifice our time, our health, our relationships, and our values. We work long hours, neglect our families, and put our own well-being on the back burner, all in the name of making more money. But at what cost? As the philosopher Seneca said, "It is not the man who has too little, but the man who craves more, that is poor." So, how do we break free from the money trap and find a healthier relationship with wealth? 1. Redefine wealth. Wealth is not just about money. It's about having enough of what you need to live a comfortable, fulfilling life. This includes financial security, good health, loving relationships, meaningful work, and a sense of purpose. 2. Practice gratitude. Take time each day to appreciate what you have, rather than focusing on what you lack. This can be as simple as writing down 3 things you're grateful for each morning or evening. 3. Spend wisely. Don't just spend money on things you want. Spend it on experiences that bring you joy, on investments that will benefit you in the long run, and on things that align with your values. As the saying goes, buy experiences, not things. 4. Give back. One of the best ways to find meaning and fulfillment in life is to give back to others. Whether it's donating to charity, volunteering your time, or simply helping a friend in need, giving can bring a sense of joy and purpose that money can't buy. Real-world examples. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The minimalist millionaire. Many successful entrepreneurs and investors have embraced a minimalist lifestyle, focusing on experiences and relationships rather than material possessions. They've learned that true wealth comes from living a life of purpose and meaning, not from accumulating stuff. The charitable billionaire. Some of the wealthiest people in the world, like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, have pledged to give away the majority of their fortunes to charitable causes. they've recognized that money is a tool, not an end in itself, and that using it to make a positive impact on the world is the ultimate form of wealth. The happy camper. You don't have to be rich to be happy. In fact, studies have shown that once your basic needs are met, additional income has a diminishing effect on happiness. People who prioritize experiences, relationships, and personal growth often report higher levels of life satisfaction than those who focus solely on accumulating wealth. The bottom line, money is a tool, not a master. It can be used for good or for ill, depending on how we choose to use it. By redefining wealth, practicing gratitude, spending wisely, and giving back, we can break free from the money trap and create a life that's truly rich in meaning and fulfillment. As the philosopher Henry David Thoreau put it, wealth is the ability to fully experience life. Lesson 4. Push for deep understanding. Dive deeper than a scuba instructor. All right, folks, let's talk about going beyond the surface. No, we're not talking about snorkeling in the Caribbean, although that sounds awesome. We're talking about diving deep into knowledge, understanding, and the world around us. We're talking about cultivating a thirst for knowledge that goes beyond the shallow waters of casual conversation and social media sound bites. The shallow end of the pool. In today's world, we're drowning in information. We're constantly bombarded with headlines, tweets, and memes. But how much of this information actually sticks with us? How much of it do we truly understand? As the philosopher Socrates famously said, "I know that I know nothing." But he didn't stop there. He spent his life asking questions, challenging assumptions, and seeking deeper truths. The deep dive. Deep understanding is about going beyond the surface level of information. It's about asking why and how instead of just what. It's about connecting the dots, seeing the bigger picture, and developing a nuanced understanding of complex issues. Why push for deep understanding? 1. Critical thinking. When you push for deep understanding, you develop your critical thinking skills. You learn to analyze information, evaluate evidence, and draw your own conclusions. This is essential for making informed decisions and navigating a world filled with misinformation and propaganda. 2. Empathy and compassion. Deep understanding allows us to see the world through the eyes of others. We begin to understand their motivations, their struggles, and their perspectives. This fosters empathy and compassion, which are essential for building strong relationships and creating a more just and equitable society. 3. Creativity and innovation. Deep understanding often leads to new insights and breakthroughs. When we truly understand a problem, we're more likely to come up with creative solutions. As the physicist Richard Feynman said, "The first principle is that you must not fool yourself, and you are the easiest person to fool." Real-world examples. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The investigative journalist. Investigative journalists don't just report the facts. They dig deeper, uncover hidden truths, and expose corruption and injustice. They push for deep understanding to hold those in power accountable and inform the public. The scientist. Scientists don't just accept existing theories. They conduct experiments, gather data, and challenge the status quo. They push for deep understanding to advance our knowledge of the world and develop new technologies that can improve our lives. The lifelong learner. Lifelong learners are never satisfied with surface-level knowledge. They're constantly reading, attending lectures, taking courses, and engaging in conversations with people from different backgrounds. They push for deep understanding to expand their horizons, challenge their assumptions, and grow as individuals. How to push for deep understanding? Your mental scuba gear. 1. Ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions, even if they seem obvious or silly. The more questions you ask, the deeper your understanding will become. 2. Challenge assumptions. Don't just accept things at face value. Question the information you receive, the sources you rely on, and your own biases and preconceived notions. 3. Seek out diverse perspectives. Don't just listen to people who agree with you. Seek out diverse perspectives, engage in respectful dialogue, and be open to changing your mind. 4. Connect the dots. Look for patterns, connections, and underlying causes. Don't just focus on isolated facts, but try to see the bigger picture. 5. Be patient. Deep understanding takes time and effort. It's not about memorizing facts, but about developing a deep, intuitive understanding of complex issues. The bottom line, pushing for deep understanding is not just for academics and intellectuals. It's a skill that anyone can develop, and it's essential for navigating the complexities of the modern world. As the philosopher Aristotle said, the ultimate value of life depends upon awareness and the power of contemplation rather than upon mere survival. So, dive deep, explore, and never stop learning. Lesson 5. The only prize, forget the podium, embrace the journey. All right, folks, let's talk about winning. Not the Super Bowl kind of winning, although that's cool too. We're talking about the deeper, more meaningful kind of winning that comes from living a life of purpose, passion, and personal growth. The gold medal illusion. In our society, we're obsessed with winning. We're constantly comparing ourselves to others, striving for recognition and chasing after external validation. We think that if we just achieve that promotion, buy that fancy car, or get that perfect body, we'll finally be happy. But here's the thing. External validation is fleeting. It's like a sugar rush. It feels good in the moment, but it doesn't last. And the pursuit of external validation can often lead us down a path of anxiety, stress, and burnout. As the philosopher Epictetus put it, wealth consists not in having great possessions, but in having few wants. In other words, true happiness comes from within, not from external achievements. The intrinsic motivation. So, what's the alternative? It's about finding your intrinsic motivation, the drive that comes from within, the passion that fuels your actions, the desire to learn, grow, and contribute to the world. As the psychologist Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi put it, the best moments in our lives are not the passive, receptive, relaxing times. The best moments usually occur if a person's body or mind is stretched to its limits in a voluntary effort to accomplish something difficult and worthwhile. So, how do we shift our focus from external validation to intrinsic motivation? 1. Define your values. What's important to you? What are your core beliefs and principles? What kind of impact do you want to have on the world? Take some time to reflect on these questions and write down your answers. This will be your compass, guiding you towards a life of meaning and purpose. 2. Set meaningful goals. Don't just set goals based on what society expects of you or what you think you should do. Set goals that align with your values and passions. Goals that excite you, challenge you, and make you want to get out of bed in the morning. 3. Embrace the journey. Don't get so focused on the destination that you forget to enjoy the journey. Celebrate the small wins, learn from your mistakes, and savor the process of growth and self-discovery. As the saying goes, life is a journey, not a destination. 4. Find your flow. Flow is that state of complete immersion in an activity, where time seems to fly by and you're completely absorbed in the moment. It's the sweet spot between challenge and skill, where you're pushing yourself but not overwhelmed. Find activities that put you in a state of flow, whether it's writing, painting, playing music, or solving complex problems. Real-world examples. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The artist who paints for passion. Many artists create art not for fame or fortune, but for the sheer joy of creation. They find fulfillment in the process of expressing themselves, exploring new ideas, and pushing their creative boundaries. The scientist who seeks knowledge. Many scientists are driven by a thirst for knowledge, a desire to understand the world around them. They find satisfaction in the pursuit of truth, the discovery of new insights, and the contribution to scientific progress. The volunteer who serves others. Many people find meaning and purpose in serving others. They volunteer their time, energy, and skills to help those in need, without expecting anything in return. The bottom line, the only prize worth winning is the one that comes from within. It's the satisfaction of living a life that's true to your values, pursuing your passions, and making a positive impact on the world. As the philosopher Confucius said, "The superior man understands what is right. The inferior man understands what will sell." So, forget the podium, embrace the journey, and focus on the things that truly matter. Lesson 6. The power of a mantra. Your pocket-sized personal powerhouse. All right, folks, let's talk about mantras. No, we're not talking about chanting in a yoga studio. Although, hey, if that's your thing, more power to you. We're talking about the power of words to shape our thoughts, our emotions, and our actions. We're talking about creating a personal mantra that can be your secret weapon for navigating life's challenges and achieving your goals. What's a mantra, anyway? A mantra is a word, phrase, or sound that is repeated to aid concentration in meditation. But it's more than that. It's a powerful affirmation, a guiding principle, a reminder of your inner strength and potential. Think of it like a pep talk you give yourself, a personal cheerleader in your pocket. It's a way to reprogram your subconscious mind, to replace negative self-talk with positive affirmations, and to cultivate a mindset of resilience and optimism. The ancient wisdom. The use of mantras dates back thousands of years to ancient India, where they were used in Hindu and Buddhist traditions as a tool for spiritual growth and enlightenment. But the power of words to shape our thoughts and emotions is a universal concept that has been recognized by philosophers and thinkers throughout history. As the Buddha said, "All that we are is the result of what we have thought. The mind is everything. What we think, we become." So, how does a mantra work? 1. Focus and concentration. Repeating a mantra helps to quiet the mind, focus your attention, and reduce mental chatter. It's like a mental reset button, allowing you to clear away distractions and hone in on what's important. 2. Positive affirmation. By repeating a positive affirmation, you're essentially telling your subconscious mind that this is what you believe to be true. Over time, this can lead to a shift in your mindset and a more positive outlook on life. 3. Emotional regulation. Mantras can help you manage stress, anxiety, and other negative emotions. By repeating a calming or empowering phrase, you can soothe your nervous system and cultivate a sense of inner peace. 4. Motivation and inspiration. A mantra can be a source of motivation and inspiration, reminding you of your goals, your values, and your potential. It can help you stay focused, overcome obstacles, and achieve your dreams. Real-world examples. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The athlete's mantra. Many athletes use mantras to boost their confidence, focus their attention, and push through physical and mental barriers. Think of phrases like, "I am strong," "I am capable," or "I can do this." The entrepreneur's mantra. Entrepreneurs often use mantras to stay motivated, overcome setbacks, and maintain a positive outlook. Think of phrases like, "I am creating something meaningful," "I am making a difference," or "I am building my dream." The Everyday Hero's Mantra. You don't have to be an athlete or an entrepreneur to benefit from a mantra. Anyone can create a personal mantra that resonates with them and helps them navigate life's challenges. Think of phrases like, "I am enough," "I am loved," or "I am grateful." How to create your own mantra, your personal power phrase. 1. Choose a phrase that resonates. Your mantra should be something that speaks to you on a deep level, something that inspires and motivates you. It could be a quote from your favorite philosopher, a line from a song, or a simple affirmation that you create yourself. 2. Keep it short and sweet. Your mantra should be easy to remember and repeat. A few words or a short phrase is usually enough. 3. Repeat it regularly. The more you repeat your mantra, the more powerful it becomes. Try incorporating it into your daily routine. Repeat it during your morning meditation, while you're exercising, or whenever you need a boost of positivity. The bottom line: a mantra is more than just words. It's a tool for self-empowerment, a way to tap into your inner strength and wisdom. By creating a personal mantra and repeating it regularly, you can transform your thoughts, your emotions, and your actions. As the philosopher Lao Tzu said, "Watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny." Lesson 7. The three areas of training. Your trifecta for a kick-ass life. All right, folks, let's talk about leveling up your life. No, we're not talking about video games or collecting XP. We're talking about the three areas of training that the ancient philosophers believed were essential for living a good life. The training of desire, action, and ascent. Sounds kind of fancy, right? But stick with me, because this stuff is actually super practical and can make a huge difference in how you experience the world. The three pillars of personal growth. 1. The training of desire. This is all about managing your wants, needs, and cravings. It's about understanding what truly matters to you and aligning your desires with your values. As the Stoic philosopher Epictetus put it, "It's not things that upset us, but our judgments about things." In other words, it's not the desire itself that's the problem, but our attachment to it. 2. The training of action. This is about taking action in accordance with your values and goals. It's about doing what's right, even when it's difficult. As Aristotle said, "We are what we repeatedly do." Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. In other words, our actions shape our character and ultimately our destiny. 3. The training of ascent. This is about controlling your thoughts and beliefs. It's about choosing to focus on the positive, to cultivate gratitude, and to challenge negative self-talk. As the Buddha said, what we think, we become. In other words, our thoughts have a powerful influence on our emotions and our actions. Real-world examples. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The training of desire. Let's say you're addicted to social media. You constantly check your phone, scroll through feeds, and compare yourself to others. This is a desire that's not serving you. To train your desire, you could set limits on your screen time, delete certain apps, or find alternative activities that bring you joy and fulfillment. The training of action. Let's say you want to get in shape. You know it's important for your health and well-being, but you struggle to find the motivation to exercise regularly. To train your action, you could set realistic goals, find a workout buddy, or reward yourself for sticking to your routine. The training of ascent. Let's say you're constantly bombarded with negative thoughts and self-doubt. You tell yourself you're not good enough, smart enough, or worthy of love. To train your ascent, you could practice mindfulness, challenge negative thoughts with positive affirmations, or seek support from a therapist or counselor. Why this matters today. In our modern world, we're constantly bombarded with distractions, temptations, and negative influences. It's easy to lose sight of what truly matters and to get caught up in the pursuit of fleeting pleasures. But by training our desires, actions, and ascent, we can take back control of our lives, cultivate inner peace, and live more meaningful and fulfilling lives. The bottom line: the three areas of training are not just some ancient philosophical concept. They're a practical roadmap for personal growth and self-improvement. By focusing on our desires, actions, and thoughts, we can cultivate wisdom, virtue, and happiness. As the philosopher Socrates said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." So take some time to examine your life, identify areas where you can improve, and start training yourself for a better future. Lesson 8. Watching the Wise, your all-access pass to the School of Life. All right, folks, put on your learning caps because we're about to drop some serious knowledge bombs. We're not talking about textbooks or lectures, although those have their place. We're talking about the wisdom that comes from observing those who have walked the path before us. The wise, the experienced, the ones who have mastered the art of living. The OG mentors. Think of the ancient philosophers, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. These guys didn't just sit around theorizing about life. They lived it, they observed it, they learned from it, and they passed down their wisdom through their writings, their teachings, and their examples. As Seneca, the Stoic philosopher, put it, "Associate with people who are likely to improve you. Welcome those whom you are capable of improving. The process is a mutual one. Men learn as they teach." Why watch the wise? 1.1. Accelerated learning. Why reinvent the wheel when you can learn from those who have already figured it out? By observing the wise, we can gain insights, avoid pitfalls, and accelerate our own personal growth. It's like having a cheat code for life. 2. Expanded perspective. We all have our own biases and blind spots. By observing others, we can gain new perspectives, challenge our assumptions, and broaden our understanding of the world. It's like upgrading your mental software. 3. Inspiration and motivation. Seeing others succeed, overcome challenges, and live fulfilling lives can inspire us to do the same. It's like having a personal cheering squad, reminding us that anything is possible. Real-world examples. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The mentored entrepreneur. Many successful entrepreneurs have mentors who have guided them, challenged them, and helped them navigate the ups and downs of starting and running a business. The inspired artist. Many artists find inspiration in the works of other artists, both past and present. They study the techniques, the styles, the themes of their predecessors, and use that knowledge to fuel their own creativity. The everyday role model. You don't have to be a famous philosopher or a successful entrepreneur to be a source of wisdom. We can learn from our parents, our teachers, our friends, our colleagues, anyone who embodies the qualities we admire and aspire to. How to watch the wise, your personal wisdom hack. 1. Identify your role models. Who are the people you admire and respect? What qualities do they possess that you want to cultivate in yourself? Make a list of your role models and start paying attention to how they think, act, and make decisions. 2. Observe and learn. Read their books, watch their interviews, listen to their podcasts, follow them on social media. Pay attention to their habits, their routines, their values, their communication styles. What can you learn from them? 3. Seek out mentorship. If you have the opportunity, seek out mentorship from someone you admire. This could be a formal mentorship program, a casual coffee chat, or simply reaching out to someone you admire and asking for advice. 4. Reflect and apply. Don't just passively consume information. Reflect on what you've learned, apply it to your own life, and see how it can help you grow and evolve. The bottom line, watching the wise is not about blindly following others or copying their every move. It's about learning from their experiences, their insights, and their mistakes. It's about gaining wisdom, expanding your perspective, and finding inspiration to live your best life. As the philosopher Confucius said, by three methods we may learn wisdom. First, by reflection, which is noblest. Second, by imitation, which is easiest. And third, by experience, which is the bitterest. Lesson 9. Keep it simple. Declutter your life. Declutter your mind. All right, folks, let's talk about simplifying life. No, we're not talking about becoming a minimalist or living off the grid, although hey, if that's your jam, more power to you. We're talking about cutting through the clutter, both physical and mental, to focus on what truly matters. The overwhelm epidemic. In today's world, we're bombarded with choices, information, and distractions. We have too much stuff, too many commitments, and too many tabs open in our browsers. It's no wonder we feel overwhelmed, stressed out, and constantly behind the curve. As the philosopher Socrates famously said, "Beware the barrenness of a busy life." In other words, just because you're busy doesn't mean you're productive or fulfilled. In fact, all that busyness can actually get in the way of what truly matters. The Zen of Simplicity. Simplicity isn't about deprivation or sacrifice. It's about intentionality and focus. It's about choosing quality over quantity, experiences over things, and presence over productivity. As the minimalist writer Joshua Becker put it, simplicity is the intentional promotion of the things we most value and the removal of anything that distracts us from them. So, how do we simplify our lives and find more peace and clarity in the process? 1. Declutter your space. Start by decluttering your physical environment. Get rid of anything you don't use, need, or love. This includes clothes, books, gadgets, furniture, anything that's taking up space and adding to the mental clutter. As the saying goes, outer order contributes to inner calm. 2. Simplify your schedule. Take a hard look at your calendar and commitments. Are you overscheduled? Are you saying yes to things you don't really want to do? Learn to say no more often and prioritize the activities that truly matter to you. As the author Greg McKeown put it, if it isn't a hell yeah, it's a no. 3. Streamline your digital life. Our digital lives can be just as cluttered as our physical ones. Unsubscribe from email lists you don't read, unfollow social media accounts that don't inspire you, and set limits on your screen time. As the digital minimalist Cal Newport put it, digital minimalism is a philosophy of technology use in which you focus your online time on a small number of carefully selected and optimized activities that strongly support things you value and then happily miss out on everything else. 4. Focus on the essentials. What are the most important things in your life? Your family, your friends, your health, your passions. Make a list of your top priorities and focus your time and energy on those things. As the philosopher Marcus Aurelius put it, very little is needed to make a happy life. It is all within yourself, in your way of thinking. Real-world examples. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The capsule wardrobe. Many people have embraced the concept of a capsule wardrobe, which consists of a small number of essential clothing items that can be mixed and matched to create a variety of outfits. This simplifies their morning routine and reduces decision fatigue. The weekly meal. Plan. Planning your meals for the week can save you time, money, and stress. It also helps you make healthier choices and avoid impulse purchases at the grocery store. The tech-free weekend. Many people find that taking a break from technology for a weekend can be incredibly refreshing and rejuvenating. It allows them to disconnect from the digital world and reconnect with themselves, their loved ones, and the natural world. The bottom line. Simplifying your life is not about deprivation or sacrifice. It's about making conscious choices, focusing on what truly matters, and creating more space for joy, creativity, and meaning in your life. As the poet T.S. Eliot put it, where is the wisdom we have lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge we have lost in information? By simplifying our lives, we can reclaim our wisdom, our knowledge, and our sense of wonder. All right, Stoic fam, we've covered a lot of ground today, from morning routines to minimalist living, from the power of mantras to the wisdom of the ancients. But remember, Stoicism isn't just about reading or listening. It's about doing. It's about taking these principles and applying them to your daily life. As Epictetus said, first say to yourself what you would be, and then do what you have to do. So what kind of life do you want to create? What kind of person do you want to become? Start small. Choose one principle that resonates with you and start practicing it today. Maybe it's setting a stoic morning routine, decluttering your space, or finding a mantra that empowers you. Whatever it is, commit to it and watch how it transforms your life. Remember, the Stoic journey is not about perfection. It's about progress. It's about constantly striving to become the best version of yourself, one step at a time. So, go out there and live your Stoic life. Embrace the challenges, learn from your mistakes, and never stop growing. And remember, you're not alone on this journey. We're all in this together. Now, go forth and conquer.